Das muss ich zurückschicken. Hallo?
You're here.
Ja.
Good.
Ja.
Welcome.
Ali, hallo. I'm a little far away. I was in the basement and now I had to feed my dog. And now Walter didn't want it that I do the podcast, but now it looks like he let me do one. Because the next 3 days we're not here, we're leaving, going on a short trip, even with the corona limitations.
Where are
Hotels
you
are
guys
still.
going?
What?
Where are you guys going?
Yeah, good. In Germany, so far Omicron didn't hit right so much, but it will.
Yeah.
So the prediction is, as in the US and everywhere is already a shit show going, but in Germany right now it's not. But everybody says middle of January Omicron will be the only virus left, and then we need the next booster, and so on. And I think the everybody hopes for that COVID pill from Pfizer.
Yeah, I got my booster. So, yep.
No, you got the booster, what is very good. And then did you have any side effects?
Wait, hold on a sec. I have to not take that phone call. No, well, actually, what happens is what I recommend for people is just bring orange juice with you because I didn't have a reaction to the first and second Moderna, but the booster, I felt kind of lightheaded. And it was probably because I hadn't eaten anything that day. So I felt kind of like dizzy. And then like I was at the supermarket. That's where I got it. And they gave me a chair, and then they put my legs up. And I sat there. It was good that I sat there because the guy was like, oh, if you didn't have a reaction to the first and the second one, you won't have one to the booster. But I did. It was very minor, but they got me some orange juice. And I started to feel better. So really, it was like if your body is in low blood sugar, like, or if you haven't eaten properly, like they say, eat a nutritious breakfast. They say that for a reason. Even though I felt totally fine beforehand, obviously, you got to take care of yourself. But it wasn't the shot itself. So I think that a lot of the reactions, I heard this reaction before. I think it's just that people need to, eat something.
Yeah, Natalie got the booster. She felt a day under the water. I got the booster. I felt nothing. But
Good.
so what we have now is Angelina, Natalie's daughter,
Okay.
got Omicron. She
Oh
was
my God.
two times vaccinated, but of
Oh
course the second vaccine was already in summer, and it shows like the vaccines are wearing off faster as we want.
Is she okay?
Yeah, she has light symptoms, but the problem now is she lives with the grandma and now she has it too. So,
No.
yeah, so and she's 78. So we need now to, of course, monitor the situation, because, of course, the grandma is in that age where you have to take it extremely, extremely serious. And
Yeah.
the other thing is, but it looks it's Omicron, and Omicron doesn't it has less hard cases, so it's like 25% less bad corona cases as you had with Delta. What is the only positive effect from Omicron so far? You know, it's not so deadly or so bad as Delta was. But
Yeah.
I talked to Will Sanderson, my buddy, who is a doctor, right, in Bellingham, in Washington, State Washington. And he said Pfizer produced only 75,000 of that pill so far. I mean,
Yeah,
what the.
it got approved. Like, remember we talked about it in the last episode, and they approved it that evening. So, yeah, it's finally that could be why there's not so many, because he's in Canada. I don't
Yeah.
know.
No, he's in the U.S.
Oh, is he? Okay.
He is in Bellingham, that is right across the border to Vancouver. And
Oh.
he said his clinic has zero of the Pfizer pills.
Wow.
But Pfizer pills are supposed to work very well And for example, for the grandma now, it would be perfect. You give the Pfizer pill before she gets bad symptoms. So the Pfizer pill reduces your hospitality rate 90%. So it would be perfect. But no, of course, no, there is no Pfizer pill. And
is there no way that you can get it for her? I mean, you guys are in Germany. Maybe you could, you know.
No, he has also nothing. It's so far, the Pfizer pill is not delivered in Europe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's coming. They say they're coming strong with hundreds of millions of pills in the first quarter. But a lot of
countries, how many people will be dead by then?
Exactly. So that is the reason the booster is the best protection right now. So, you know, but it looks also like when you actually, everybody who's vaccinated, let's say 5 months ago, has no protection. So everybody should know and get the booster, because if you got vaccinated with the second vaccine 5 months ago or earlier even, you're done. There is no protection. You're like...
Yeah, it fades away. It fades away. It's not like the freaking tetanus shot where you have to get it, what, every 6 years or something?
Yeah, exactly. Tetanus, or some vaccines like the measles, you never have to do twice your life.
Yeah.
And I think if the vaccine companies want to stay in business, they need to get the vaccine valid, working 100% in a way that you get one booster a year and you're done. And if that doesn't work, I think the vaccines will collapse, and it will get, and basically everybody will just take the pill when you get it. I mean, you want to go for every 3 or 4 months for a vaccine, every 3 or 4 months. It's too many.
Yeah, it's gonna suck, but I mean, I'm gonna keep doing it until they figure it out.
No, that's the thing. I will keep doing it until that Pfizer pill is everywhere in every pharmacy, right? So that your doctor can write you a prescription. You go to the pharmacy and you get the Pfizer pill, period. Because then it's safe. You know, then you can say, look, if something happens in any form, any negative way, who gives a shit? So you take the pill after, basically, you know? So, and because it has a 90% protection for a bad corona. So, I mean,
you know what I think is a really good thing to think about, though, is that we could probably afford the pill, but how much is it going to cost? What about the people who are poor?
I know, but it has to be treated like the vaccine. It has to be free. You know, because what the government doesn't want people on intensive care, because there are then, as soon you go to intensive care, there's $100,000 gone, no matter what. So, and the government and the insurances can save a lot of money if you can reduce the intensive care patients just with the pill down to 10% of the people going now. We're safe. We're fine. No more overflowing of emergency rooms. No more overflowing of ventilators. You know, like, I mean. And I think then that the pill maybe costs $200-$300 per pill, and you need to take 5 pills. I saw that in the beginning, you take one pill, but you have to take 5 pills on 5 different days, similar to like an antibiotic. So we're talking about $1,000 for the 5 pills. I mean, I would of course pay the $1,000 happily.
you think the government will not say something like, hey, yes, you didn't get the shot, so we're not going to cover this because it's extra or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that can happen. That can happen. But everybody who had the shot should get it for free.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. I'm excited to see what happens with this.
Yeah. And I just read that Jean-Marc Vallée, the director.
Okay.
I didn't know him till he just died. He was 58, and he did Big Little Lies with Reese Witherspoon, but he did also the Reese Witherspoon film where she walks in the wild, and he did also Dallas Buyers Club with Missy. Okay. So it was a director from Vancouver, from Montreal. He just died.
Pretty young.
Yes, they don't write for what. But what I recognize 2021, overall, a lot of people died. A lot of famous people died, or show people, like young people. And of course, a lot of times they don't write why. I think it's a mix between overdose, suicide, cancer, but maybe also like not necessarily corona a lot. But I recognize in this year where we had already more people dying as in other years before because of corona, but at the same time, I really recognized a lot of like famous people, like Hollywood people, whatever, boom dead, and a lot of like, of course, very old people, but you had also looked at that rapper guy who got stabbed to death in LA last week. A lot of
the can't fucking believe that one. Who killed him? Some dude just, from what I understand, he was backstage at his own concert. There was some random groupies around. They're fucking with him. He's like, fuck you. And they stab him in the neck and say, fuck you, bitch, and run off. Did they find out who did it?
No, never heard about it.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. And it was, I think, the third or fourth rapper this year who got killed. A lot of people got shot that week before.
That's a security issue. Who the fuck let those people back there? I think that other rappers were saying stuff like, this culture is like so I feel for him because we're trying to please the fans, but you know what I mean? It can be so toxic. Like, it's like very machismo where they want to like fuck with the rapper because he represents, you know, a higher culture, or they're jealous or something. People like that shouldn't be backstage at an event like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, but they also like
Snoop Dogg and Drake was there. What if they got stabbed in the neck? I bet you people would be much more pissed off.
Yeah, it's so. I think also it's.
Then there was that other one with those people at the Travis Scott one. It's like violence. People are getting too fucking rowdy, too out of control. It's guys, we have to help each other when we're at these events and also like respect the security. They're there to do their job to stop people from stabbing you in the neck, etc.
Yeah, and I mean, and step away from you're not cooler because you surround yourself with real gangsters, right?
Yeah.
We have a big documentary in Germany right now, Bushido. So Bushido is a Moroccan German rapper in Germany, and he is the most known one in Germany. So he had a huge career, and then it turned out now on the true crime doku about him for 5 parts that he did a deal like 10 years ago with the godfather of kind of an Arab Lebanese clan in Germany. And so this guy basically cleared the way for him because this family, very violent, hundreds of members, gang members. So all the other rappers in Germany got really scared of Bushido because he had that protection.
Because he had the real shit. He had real cred. Okay, I get it.
Totally. But behind the curtain occurred like a drama. What turned in the beginning, it looked all so easy peasy. But the reality was that Lebanese clan, as typical for mafia, then took total advantage of him, right? And they told him, we do 50-50 with all your revenues, right? But there was a catch. They wanted their 50% in cash before taxes.
Oh, so, shit.
You know, and in Germany, if you make a lot of money, you pay 47% tax. So,
yeah.
And then he broke free in the end, but now he has police protection the whole day because they want to kill him. So, because what he did was at one point he told the guy, he said, look, I don't need you anymore. I give you $5 million, just walk away. And the guy said, no, I'm not walking away. Instead, you keep giving me the 50% in cash. And he said, yeah, but I got a tax audit and all the money I had is gone because I have to pay the taxes for your part also. So if he made 10 million and gave him five in cash and paid his taxes for the 10 million, he made $30,000, $40,000 with 10 million. So he basically lived shitty and had a wife, four kids and everything. So he recognized, like, I'm in a financial treadmill to the death. Like, I will never earn the money I should. And then that was in court. And the guy is still not jailed. The judgment is still open, so nobody knows what the real judgment will be. He completely blankly denies anything like this. He also denies that he ever got money, and it's kind of idiotic. But of course, there's no receipt and no contract. So now, now when you are in court, you're of course in a total shit situation because you need to prove you gave it to him.
You know, yeah, that's going to be hard to prove, especially if he's trying to say, I have no idea what you're talking about. There has to be a paper trail, you know?
Yeah, because the defense attorneys of the clan, they basically say, what is if he just stole the other half and never paid our client? You know, then he is a tax frauder and he should go to jail. So he got a tax fraud claim against himself, right? And so it's, of course, a totally shitty situation, but that shows also how real crime syndicates operate. They're they have top attorneys behind them and they're totally clever. They say never sign anything, never have anything in writing, shit like this, you know, and then try to do a victory in jail. And he said, he threatens my life. Yeah, he got police protection because of it. But there is no letter, there is no email, there is, of course, nothing where the guy actually threatened his life.
Yeah. And this is all over the fact that the rapper wanted street cred. He just wanted to look cool. And he got himself into all this fucking mess.
Yes. And in the doku, when I watched the doku, it's on Amazon in Germany, I felt he's shuffling his own fucking grave with the documentary because he says all the time that the guy totally is a fucking cocksucker, whatever. And it's the wrong person to insult.
There's somebody like that here in the US, that Tekashi 6ix9ine guy. He was a pretty popular rapper who also felt that if he got affiliated with the gangsters, that it would make him look more credible and make his music more popular. But then the gangsters started to try and, I think they tried to kill him because they wanted money. They were just punks, but he got in with the wrong crowd. And now he raps from, like, he doesn't go out and tour because he'll get fucking killed. You know what I mean? So it sounds a lot like this guy.
Yeah. But it's also, you know, it shows also, and that is maybe also why Tupac is dead or Biggie or people like this.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating, but you have to know where the real deal starts and where the little, let's say, gangster idea doesn't matter. You have that in boxing too. You know, I'm watching the Muhammad Ali doku right now from Ken Burns. It's 8 hours. It's great. You know a lot of things. You learned a lot of things about Muhammad Ali, but also they were in the early years where Ali started boxing in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. Half of the boxers were controlled by the Italian mafia, you know, and I think that is the thing with the big Lebanese clans, or also in US with the Mexican gangs and so on. I think that a lot of the rappers, and you see that they are dead, they are shot there, they are not aware that these people are not all talk as them.
Yeah.
You know, they're rapping, I'm a motherfucker gangster, whatever, right? So, but they are not really. But these people are real. They're controlling, of course, like the Arab gangs in Germany together. Like in Germany are a few organized crime, like syndicates. You have Eastern Europeans that work together, mostly car stealing and stuff like this. Then you have the Albanian mafia. They took completely over the whole red light districts, whatever. They because they murdered the Hells Angels people. They murdered the banditos people who were like classical marijuana sellers, red light district people, whatever. But they lost a lot of influence in Germany based on the people that coming just with the machine guns. And
so they killed their turf. They came and took it over.
Yes, but they are, you know, like they are not like, I mean, the Hells Angels and banditos, whatever, they're not totally, not all of them are gangsters. And they have a lot of, like, they have a codex you can identify them with because you see it. Where was the Hells Angels? Just you see it on the West, right? So, and now comes the real organized crime people. They're looking like you cannot identify them. You don't know who they are because in Europe are open borders. Right. So you can drive here from Yugoslavia or ex-Yugoslavia. You can drive five people up with machine guns. They're shooting in Hamburg, somebody dead or 10 people dead, and they leave the same night. And if they don't get catched there, they will never get catched at all. And that is what organized crime is doing a lot. Like this kind of targeted killing from people outside of Germany, where they have no identification, no border. No passport control whatsoever. So it's so easy, you know? So, and that is what I mean. It's like this kind of like harsher gangs, and they exist in real. And the Lebanese guys with the Bushido guy, they thought only, oh, that is a great additional income. But of course, the real income from all that clans is like, working with the Colombian mafia and whatever on drugs into Europe. Like in Europe, Mexicans and Colombians are not importing drugs into Europe without the Italian mafia involved and other big groups involved. Otherwise, no business.
They'll get killed. That's what will happen. They'll be like, why the fuck did you not cut me in? You didn't tell me, and boom, you know?
They control the distribution, right? So, and I mean, but that is all the things. And I think that's one of the reasons so many rappers coming in so much trouble. And then because if you hang out with gangsters, if they think you owe them, or they can think they can take advantage out of you, they will suck you dry and then they spit you out, right? So if you're lucky, you're not dead. But I think the Bushido guy is actually in absolutely life danger with his whole family. And he still lives in Berlin, where the clan's headquarter is. And I think that is a huge mistake. They will at one point get him. So, and I think it's just an interesting subject matter, recognizing how many people died and whatever. And I got today also, I had a call with a guy who wants to do a documentary about missing people. And he wrote four books about it. And I had no clue. Like in Germany, what do you think how many people disappear per year?
I'm not sure. That's a good question.
100,000.
That's not very many compared to the United States.
United States, of course, you can always say 300,000 or 400,000 or 500,000. And of course, 80% disappear because they want to disappear, because they owe money, they are in debt, whatever, depressed. But you also have 4,000 cases from the 100,000 a year in Germany where the people never get found again, ever. And that guy's doing that since 30 years. And it's kind of an enormous amount of people. If they never pop up again, because then you have to question, what the fuck happened? Are they murder victims, or are they really able to cover their tracks so good that they never pop up again, have a completely new existence or something? That I don't know. That sounded very high for me. I thought that maybe 100 girls disappear a year or whatever, you know, for like rape, murder or something, and getting digged in the hole somewhere. I was like, God, but 4,000 people, that is not so easy.
It's a pretty high number, yeah.
Yeah. So, and it was an interesting talk. So we want to work together on a docu show, like four episodes, I think would be perfect for Netflix. Like missing, you know, like where you not focus on one case, where you just do a docu about the whole, let's say,
the phenomenon. Okay.
About this, you know?
Yeah.
I think that that is it's very good. And for and he said the main thing is the completely failure of the police, right? Nobody finds anybody. Only by poor accident. It's not like if you go to the police and say, my sister is gone, that they actually do something. They write it down and then like, who gives a shit? She will pop up. She's just drunk. She doesn't want to meet her sister anymore. So there comes one excuse after the other. Why not looking for people? Okay. You know? So,
well, yeah, no, this could be an interesting subject. If you guys can develop it properly, go for it, you know?
Yeah. So I just looked up US, 600,000 a year.
Okay.
So, yeah. And approximately 4,400 unidentified bodies are recovered every year in US.
So, yeah. There was some guy in New York, like, this happened, like, I don't know, 13 years ago, before I even, I think right as I was moving to Utah at the time, some guy was like meeting prostitutes and like killing them and like dumping them in some like construction field in New Jersey. And I think one of them got away and told the police, and they found the guy, and they found all, they didn't know that he was killing people until all these people were just going missing. And it was just some normal dude. I think he might have been, I don't remember the details. I have to look that up, but there's some crazy shit. There's a lot of weird sickos out there. And I think that the sickos are the ones you least likely expect. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot what's going on. And yeah, but so we got
be safe out there is what I'm trying to say, people, like, be careful.
True. Two things I want to talk about. First, the Shudder, the horror thing, they just emailed us back during we were talking that they gave our info to the people from Shudder who buy or produce. Or is not, you know, but it could be interesting also for a Blood Rain TV show and stuff like this.
Yeah, and I said to them, like, you know, we would be willing to do, because they have that show, The Last Drive-In, with Joe Bob Briggs and I forgot her name, Darcy the male girl. They have a show and they watch movies and they critique the movies. People love it. I mean, if they can develop a show like that, we would be willing to do, you know, something like that, or review movies. That's fine, you know. I think people would love your movie reviews, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, that is two different things. The one is our podcast that could be interesting for them, as you just said, but they also do films, right?
So yeah, but Blood Rain, I know, but you sent them the Blood Rain thing, but I'm just saying that if they want something, some diversity, we're pretty flexible. Do you know what I mean? This we're open to all different kinds of things, is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. And I mean, I hope they're for the best, right? And I overall hope that for 2022 coming up, that the situation gets better, that COVID pill gets out, that the vaccines are holding up longer, that we have more chances to go back to normal and focus also about the other problems. You know, like Corona moved for 2 years any other subject matter on the back burner, like the climate change and so on, and nobody gave a shit about rich and poor, taxes, structural reform, whatever. I'm so pissed about the Democrats, the munching guy, like that idiot who blocks.
Oh, that fucking douchebag! I can't fucking believe it. It's like he's from an elected area of 250,000, and he's holding back like the majority. He's holding back, you know, the entire Biden administration's plan to upgrade our society. Like China and all these other places are much more technologically advanced. Their roads, their systems, they have more like stops for people to recharge their electric cars. They have a lot of like technological upgrades that we don't have, and we don't realize it because we're here in the United States. Well, that fucking douchebag, whatever his name is, I can't even remember. The Democrat that's like a Republican, basically, is too much money, Dick. It's going to cost money. We're already in debt because of the Republicans, so fuck off. You know what I mean? Just shut the fuck up. He's some old, out-of-touch loser. He needs to just fucking fuck off.
He's a football player. And I think he is just like a horrible Republican double agent.
Yeah, for sure. You think he's just a fucking Republican, man?
Yeah, 100%.
Pretending?
Totally. You know, and I mean, think about how genius that is. If you would have a situation with as a Republican, so you are in a state, and then you can infiltrate the Democrats with basically a Republican acting like a Democrat. Now he gets the candidate and gets elected. You're fine.
Yeah, and if he fucking turns Republican now, the Senate will go to the Republicans, man.
Yeah. You know,
that's not what people voted for. That's not what people wanted. Fuck, you know?
Yeah, that is a big, big problem we have here in front of us. It's we have the right corner parties who defend the rich people always stick together. And we have the left parties, the Greens, the Democrats, the Liberals, they are more splintered. And then they go in internal fights and nothing gets done. And we have that in Europe too, where the one like completely like backstabs the other one. Nobody really works together. And, you know, like how can that be that they
well, people just take their time to try and fuck the other side up rather than working with the other side. They're like, how can we get them? You know, how can we make them pay? It's like, that doesn't fucking do a thing.
No, but yeah, but I think it's also additional is this kind of like, normally, if you're a member of a party, you need a party voting discipline. You know, you need to say, look, if our party is a majority making a decision, then you need to just follow through and you cannot hold things up. It's
that's what the Republicans are doing. That's why this fucking
all the time, and they're way more successful with it, bringing everybody in line. I think only Mitt Romney was the only Republican ever who was voting against stuff, or even like talking against something, but still voting them for it. And you know, and that Manchin guy or whatever. I mean, it's like it's pissing me so off. The infrastructure bill is super important.
Yeah,
you know, and look at the infrastructure in the U.S. You know, the trains are like 100 years old. The bridges,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, how can you? And you bring people in jobs. It's not that the infrastructure bill of like $2 trillion is going to the casino people. So no, it's going to millions of people who then work to rebuild the infrastructure. So it goes to people that then will pay taxes for the money they earn. And you know, like, and so it's not a $2 trillion or whatever it is, it's gone forever. It's like getting in the system, but at the same time creates money, what will get consumed, what will get spent, what the lifestyle goes up, they can pay better medical care and so, but no.
And you know what is also really important, all these natural disasters like these floods and that shit, hurricanes, all this stuff that's happening because of the climate change, Biden administration wants to upgrade these cities so they're not fucking underwater, which is what will happen to places like Manhattan Island if we don't do something to upgrade the infrastructure now. So fucking don't say we can live like this for another 20 years, because fucking, I don't think so. I think that things are, we were already seeing the beginnings of the changes in our climate. Every year it gets worse. We have to upgrade a lot of things, or else more people will die. And your homes will fucking be fucked because your city wasn't protected. And you'll be pissed. So just let it fucking happen.
Wait 1 second, Walter came in. Yeah, what is it? Basically. She's sleeping. Bessie is sleeping. Yeah, I have only one big subject matter in the end for today. And that is Don't Look Up with Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't know if you watched the film.
Yeah, I saw some scene of him looking in a mirror, like
But
freaking
you
out.
need to watch it. You need to watch it because I started it, then I watched it again, and I think it's a great film. It's a great satire of us. And I mean, there's the story everybody knows now. So it's a comet coming down, and he and Jennifer Lawrence are basically scientists, and they find out in 6 months and a few days that comet will hit the Earth. And I think what's happened when they go out with the news, calling the NASA, I think what is very realistic is that nobody takes it serious first. They all play it down, you know, like nobody wants to hear it. And I think that would actually happen 100%. Like, you have to tell a little, like Tyler Perry and Kate Blanchett play like a TV morning show host, you know, and then they tell them, like, no, we need a little entertainment. Oh, you saw a comet, cool. And with all that bullshit, nobody gets it. Like, we will all be dead in 6 months. And I think, and then you have like Meryl Streep as the president of the United States, Ariana Grande plays herself. You have Jonah Hill as the son of the president, who's a total fucking douchebag. It's like a Trump son play, like this kind of thing. And I think it's actually, in a way, the most important film of the year, because of course, it's a fairy tale about the global warming situation. And if you make a joke that the humans are not actually reacting, even if a fucking comet comes, you can see with a periscope, then it's not a miracle why the whole Earth constantly ignores the disaster of climate change coming closer. You know, because it doesn't have the date. It doesn't have this kind of like, if we don't, whatever, switch all engines off in the next 5 minutes, we're in 10 minutes dead or something. It's like we don't know when climate change actually will completely be a devastating worldwide, horrible, horrible event, in a way like similar to Corona, where you don't have anything else anymore determine your daily routine. And the Corona is now for 2 years part of our daily lives, nonstop. And I think climate change at one point will do the same. It will do exactly the same to all of us. You get insects from Africa coming over, infecting everything. You have floodings, more hurricanes, more droughts, more burning, and it gets completely out of control till it hits you personally. You know, till your house is underwater, till your house gets wiped out by a hurricane.
Yeah,
Then.
that's the one thing that people don't realize is that it'll eventually affect you. Like, hurricane hits, city wasn't prepared, your house gets destroyed. You're like, how could this happen? It could have been prevented, but your government didn't put the money, or your state or whoever didn't put the money into foreseeing those events.
Yes. And I think that is th but that is the thing where then nobody takes DiCaprio serious till he then and at one point he completely flips and just he flips completely out, right? And just screams in the TV shows like, we all fucking die, guys, can you not wake up? Whatever. And then they make first the idea is to blow up the comet, what makes sense. But it didn't work on purpose because a guy like Elon Musk guy, basically, like a
Oh,
tech,
really?
yeah. So like a not Elon Musk, but a guy, right? So like a tech guy just evaluated that the comet has, you know, gold and lithium in a value of $137 trillion.
So they don't want to blow it up because it's valuable?
Exactly.
What?
Yeah. But that's why I say that the greed will be will in the very end the greed will be our completely downfall, right? And that is the it's like a little like Mars Attacks if you without the aliens. But it is kind of like so then they make a decision. So what we're doing now is we're flying up to the comet and blow it into like 1,000 pieces. And when the 1,000 pieces fly on Earth, we just harvest them. We just take them out and. We own them. And because if the comet is, of course, in 1,000 different little comets, it's not a devastating extinction event anymore. It's just like, whatever, 500,000 people die. You know, then you get like a five meter part of the comet flies on your house and you are dead, but who gives a shit because the money is there. So, you know, like that is the thing. And that wins. That point wins. So he convinces everybody that is what we do, right? And then it doesn't work. Yeah. So I don't want to, it's a spoiler alert, but it doesn't work. But that makes it funny. That makes it a little like Mars Attack when Jack Nicholson in a way wants to surrender when there is nothing to surrender. You know, like when there's no benefit for the aliens to not wipe them all fucking out. You know, and that is the thing. And that is the lesson in the film. And I think it's hilarious because it's this kind of like, think about Doctor Strangelove or Catch 22, like the great, great satires about the real history, like about the things they actually are devastating. And the global warming, there is no bigger subject. There is no other problem. Only if we have another nuclear war, because everybody's just blowing everybody up for no reason. But let's say this aside, there is no other subject matter what will have a grip on our existence in the next 30, 40 years as the consequences out of global warming. And I think that was when Leonardo DiCaprio screams there, like, what the fuck are we doing? Are you all completely fucking insane? Like Meryl Streep in the beginning said, in 3 weeks are the midterms, the subject matter doesn't fit. You know, and they're like, it's a comet falling on the Earth in the size of the Mount Everest, and that is an extinction. Like, because what happened, it's interesting now, it's not like totally made up, right? So let's say you have a comet of the size of the Mount Everest falling in the ocean. You would have waves that are 3 miles high. So think about the normal tsunamis, they have like 50, 60 meter waves. So, but if you have a wave in Florida, what is 3 miles high, Florida is gone. Like gone, you know, that is the thing. It's like that they're all facts, like that could happen. And then of course, with an impact in that power, there would be a kind of an earthquake shaking the whole earth that basically every fucking building will collapse. And it would have, what was it be like the power of 17,000 nuclear bombs blowing up in one spot. So like, and all of this doesn't matter because it doesn't fit in the breakfast program. And the hilarious scene is where, so in the moment the comet actually almost is there and it's over, Fox News is still showing like a total alternative program. You know, during like CNN, they all run away already because they know they're getting smashed into 1,000 pieces. But Fox News is still airing and saying like, you know what you want to happen. Who has an affair with Lady Gaga or something like this? That the guy says something completely absurd, and I think it's insane and super funny, you know.
Yeah, no, I'll check. Is this on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. You should watch it because I think it's really absolutely hilarious. And
very dark satire, huh?
I have to check it out. Look, Adam McKay, he did a lot of, he was the partner from Will Ferrell, right? And
he was a part of the Gloria Sanchez thing. Okay.
Yeah. And he did The Big Short with Steve Carell and Christian Bale about the mortgage crisis.
Yeah, the housing shit. Okay. Yeah,
it was cool. I really like that film, you know.
He developed a lot of comedies before that. That's funny. I wouldn't expect. I mean, he's made such a turn as a producer and a creator because he did like Talladega Nights. He developed a couple of Will Ferrell films in his past. So That's a very multi-functional, very talented person.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's really worth it because you don't have a lot of films. They have that political aspect, you know, and a lot of films are just boring. And here I was never bored. Of course, he was able to pull to have unbelievable cast. I mean, think about that cast. Jennifer Lawrence did a movie for years, so she's the lead with Leonardo DiCaprio, and then you have Meryl Streep, Kate Blanchett, Tyler Perry. I mean, it's just a great, great cast. Jonah Hill. I have to say, like, that is really, really, really good, you know. So, no, yeah, but that would be really a good recommendation over the time. And yeah.
All right. Well, guys, thank you for tuning in to Uvaball Raw USA. Please subscribe to the show and check out Uvaball Raw on YouTube, as well as Ball and Blasberg. It's a different podcast. It's in the German language. Have a wonderful holidays, guys.
Keep going, and we maybe we do one more before New Year, or we do in the beginning of the New Year right away something.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do one for the New Year's, guys. Everybody be safe. Don't drink and drive, or get like a Uber if you are out and drinking. Okay.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye, guys. Take care.